In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
You're slow, boy.
You are dreaming. I am faster than you every day.
14.2 seconds. You're never going to beat that.
Right, I'll prove it.
Nighttime, two teenagers sneak towards a car.
This one. Right, time me.
Go.
The teenage lad, Al, who's wearing a dark cap, puts through the passenger side window as the girl, Keisha, times him. He sticks his head through the window and takes a sat-nav out of the glove box. Reaching through the darkness into the back seat, Al pulls his hand back and looks at it. It's dripping with blood. There's a dead body in the back. Al gawps as a police car careers into the car park and two officers jump out.
Stay where you are!
Stop right there! Stay right where you are!
I didn't do it!
I didn't do it!
As the policeman handcuffs Al, he freezes when he sees the body in the car.
Body had been there 10, maybe 12 hours by the time they got there.
So who's the poor sod in the back?
No wallet or ID, head stoved in, multiple blows from a blunt instrument, toolkit in the back of the car, weapon might have come from that. Frenzied attack, judging by the splatter patterns.
You love saying splatter patterns, don't you?
The two kids are already in custody. Looks like they've taken half the sat-navs within a square mile.
Right, so is this still on HQ for Toms?
Yeah, might explain why John Thomas is hanging out. Lois interrupt us, if you ask me.
Run PNC results. Vehicle belonged to a Frank McCallum. Blimey. Previously Detective Sergeant McCallum. Used to be a copper in Vice. It's one of us.
DS Ronnie Brooks looks away. Images of London are overlaid by shots of the show's characters in action. Law, square-jawed Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks. Lean and handsome Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin. Short, dark-haired Harriet Walter as D.I. Natalie Chandler. Order, 40-something Ben Daniels as James Steele. Pretty brown-eyed Freema Agyeman as Alicia Phillips. Both of them appear talking animatedly in court. And suited Bill Patterson as George Castle. Law and Order, UK. This episode is called Vice. In a mortuary, a middle-aged woman stands with Ronnie and Matt next to the body of the murder victim. A guy in scrubs covers the head with a sheet.
We've been separated 9 months. I was hoping the split was temporary. When we were first married, he used to bring me an orange lily every Friday night. I'd call him a hopeless romantic. He'd say, no, just hopeless. Working for Vice changed him. He stopped being the man I married. That's what being a copper does. Eats you from the inside.
Is there anyone you'd like us to contact?
I wanted kids. I told him he'd be a great dad. He was a good man.
In the corridor.
Darling, I'm so sorry, I just got your message.
Thanks, Josh.
The man hugs her.
I'm sorry, sir, you are?
I'm Josh Pritchard, I'm Frank's boss.
Oh, DS Brooks, this is DS Devlin. PC Cook will take you home. Just give us a call if you need it.
Speak to you in a minute, right?
Battlefields, is that your company?
Yeah, with a Z, it's a paintballing centre out in Epping Forest. Frank's our operational director.
And what does that job involve?
Everything. Security, supplies, making sure the arenas were in good nick. You did a fantastic job.
Tell me, was he into prostitutes?
Josh flinches.
And what kind of question is that?
A relevant one.
Yeah, I don't know, do I? And why on earth would he tell me that? I mean, it's not the kind of conversation you normally have with your boss, is it?
We got teams going house to house looking for witnesses.
CCTV?
Not round there. Local kids have a league table so you can knock out the most cameras. We're checking all the private systems in a half-mile radius, but it's going to take time.
A murder weapon would make things too easy.
Well, the search teams haven't turned anything up, that's for sure. I mean, forensics have found some prints in a prelim exam at a car, but none of them, by the way, match our records.
Or maybe our girl's new in town.
Or boy.
You think it's a prostitute scam gone wrong?
Well, he does, I don't. McCallum's ex-vice. He knows the ropes. He ain't gonna get scammed and bashed to death in his own motor, is he?
Revenge killing, then. Someone he had a run-in with at Vice.
So why's he got his ninky-nonk out when they find him?
You don't really call it a ninky-nonk.
Yeah, what I call you. Talk to the friendly neighbourhood tarts and find out what they've heard.
North Wharf Road, Paddington, Tuesday, 23rd of January.
Bloke was murdered under the bridge last night. You hear anything about that?
Bit buff for a cop of you, aren't you?
Do you mind, love? His head's big enough already without you adding to it.
Maybe a girl was trying to rip him off. Something got out of hand.
Do you mind? You don't scam hunters around here. You start getting a reputation like that, business dies on you.
Anyone new around the place? Someone who might not understand the rules?
You help us out this time, I'll throw in a get-out-of-jail-free card next time you nick for soliciting.
There's a new girl, yeah? Round the back of Paddington. Little Irish girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Blonde, mousy hair. Green eyes, looks about 12. It's a good market for her.
Well, does she have a name?
Neve! Bloke's asking for you by name.
Hello, Neve.
Know yourself? Do I know you?
Not really.
No, but you might know this.
Police ID.
What? You're on bill. Don't you have anything better to do with your life?
That bag's almost as big as you, love. What have you got in there?
Not much.
Well, do you mind showing us?
Neve, a baby-faced teenager with watery blue eyes and wearing a zip-up top, spills the contents of her handbag out onto the pavement. Amongst the belongings, which include a bottle of water and some mouthwash, is a man's wallet. Opening it with tweezers, Matt sees McCallum's driving licence inside. Later, in an interview room...
These belong to Frank McCallum, who was murdered yesterday.
Neve stares ahead blankly.
You were arrested on suspicion of his murder.
No. I find them. On the pavement near the railway lines.
Matt leans back and touches his face.
Where are you from, Neve? If I had to guess, I would say Dungannon. Or a village just outside, like Cookstown.
It's about 5 miles away.
I got family. Distant family. Mad family, actually. Don't see it much, thank God.
Freckled Neve looks down at the table sadly.
Your parents know you're here.
My mum's dead. My dad's a bastard.
Snap. We're related, do you think?
Ronnie comes over from where he's seated by the wall and plonks himself down at the desk. He smiles at Neve.
Neve. The man that was murdered used to be a policeman. So for myself and Matt here, it's like losing a member of our family. You were found with that murdered man's property on you. Your fingerprints were in his car.
Tell us what happened.
Teary-eyed Neve looks up again.
The driver's door was open. He was already dead, lying in the back. There was no one around. I promise you, on my life, I didn't do it. The coat was in the back. The wallet and phone were in there. So I grabbed them, took the keys, shut it all up. Look at me. You think I could kill him?
Well, you know, some days I think anybody's capable of anything.
Okay. We're going to charge you with theft of articles from the car, and we're going to keep you here until we can get a full forensic report.
I told you I didn't...
I know, sweetheart. I know. But sometimes people lie.
Neve Quinn is telling the truth. Of all the stuff under her fingernails, and really, you don't want to know. No skin or blood from Frank McCallum. Plus, she doesn't share the same lipstick as the killer.
What, you took a lipstick trace off his...
Wang Doodle. Oh, yeah.
But she could have other lipsticks.
Well, this one's Blush by Nyman. Now, it's not one you get in Superdrug. 40 quid a go. American manufacturer, only salvages stocking.
Classy girl he had in his crutch.
From the text messages folder on his mobile, text from a Sanchia. Urgent, must see you tonight, don't mess me about.
What do we know about this Sanchia?
I called the number, she's the accountant at a paintballing centre. Battlefields.
With a Z. Nice work.
Battlefields Paintball Centre, Epping Forest, Wednesday.
We'd been on a date. He'd been asking for a while and I sort of gave in. I got drunk quite quickly that night. ended up back at mine. When he asked about going out again, I said no. That's when he tried to blackmail me.
How is he going to do that?
I work in accounts. I know the systems. Sometimes I get people in for free and take a few of the supplies. I told Frank when I was drunk.
So after you turned him down, he tried to use that against you?
He locked the office door and said he'd report me to Mr. Pritchard unless I went out with him again. Basically slept with him. I told him to take a running jump.
Can I ask you what kind of lipstick you wear, Sancha?
I don't.
Where were you Wednesday between noon and 5 p.m?
Here, all afternoon. Health and safety course, with half a dozen other staff.
Sancha's alibi's rock solid.
Your little friend Neve, she really isn't a credible suspect. She's naive, no worse than that. We need to know more about the victim. We need to know who was Frank McCallum.
We turned over his flat, nothing of interest. Sparse little gaff in wood green. Classic divorce bloke, on his own, totally unhomely and depressing.
Not all divorced blokes live like that.
There's Mr. Frayed carpet in the corner of his lounge.
The people before me had a cat.
What are you doing with those ties?
Vice are holding a wake for McCallum down at the Gold Nine. I thought we should just nip down there and see if we can find out a bit more about him.
Excellent.
At a pub.
Frank would ask me to check out people's records, number plates, that sort of thing. Usually about employees of the paintball place.
When did you last speak?
I don't know, 10 days ago. He wanted me to check out a false charge on the company credit card. Frank thought it might have been phished, internet fraud.
And what did you find out?
Well, there was a legit company behind the charge, Velvet Holdings. But I don't know what he did with the information, he never came back.
Did Frank have a taste for prostitutes?
Just show a bit of respect, will you?
Is that a yes or a no?
Look, Frank was a good copper. But he wore his heart on his sleeve, he fell in love 4 times a day and nothing got to him more than a hard luck story. He thought he could help the girls, you know, fix their lives. Worst place for a bloke like that is Vice.
Right, we're going to need the names of the people he pissed off.
That wasn't Frank. I mean, he was putting his life back together. He was doing good. Sorry, boys. You've hit a dead end.
The grey-haired cop, Barry, dressed in a black suit and tie, swigs his beer at the paintball centre.
No, I've never heard of Velvet Holding, sorry. Why not?
Frank McCallum asked an ex-colleague of his to investigate an apparently fraudulent charge made by them to your company credit card.
No details about Velvet in any of McCallum's files.
So, how many people are authorised to use a company credit card?
I don't know, 3, I think, but I'll sense you.
We'll need the names of those authorised users, plus the account statements for the last few months.
Sure.
Sorry, Mr. Pritchard, you said you'd never heard of Velvet Holdings.
No.
Well, Battlefields made 7 payments to them last month at £1,000 a throw.
And 6 the month before that.
Well, maybe it's a supply that's changed their name. Sancho, got those invoices on there?
Give me a second, I'll look.
Each payment was made using company credit card number 2. Who uses that?
It's probably Frank.
Velvet Holdings. Miscellaneous supplies.
Very miscellaneous, seeing as neither of you know about them.
Check company's house. Get a full FIU, we'll see what we can get from them.
Later, in the station, Matt and Ronnie are at their desks.
I became a tech for the glamour. What happens? I spend most of my nights here trawling through paperwork with you.
Yeah, well, you can bet your life Frank McCallum did exactly the same when he was on the job. Just remember why you're doing this, Matt.
Matt looks down at a photo.
14 blows to the head. What kind of person does that? So, where are we?
Well, company search, Velvet Holdings, look. Nothing. No phone numbers, no website, emails, no business accounts, nothing.
No clues about what they do.
Although registered offices in Oxford Street, I mean, we go there, we could find an operating address, maybe even some names.
Friday.
We're a clearing house. Companies put this as a registered address for official mail. Inland Revenue, company's house. We forward it on to where they're really based.
So what, you sit here all day forwarding letters?
All day, every day. I'm not allowed a computer, because that'd be too distracting. And that camera monitors me all day. Every day.
They're in a small office full of shelves of letter trays. A camera is mounted on a corner wall.
You enjoy your job, Kieran?
I'm a facade.
Velvet Holdings?
Yes, here we go. That's everything we've got on file.
Thank you. Okay, Velvet Holdings have their mail forwarded onto a shop in Barnes called Toby's Playroom. Let's have a look at that phone number.
Matt looks at a document.
Yep, Frank McCallum's mobile bill. He called that shop the day before he was killed.
Later, in a gift shop in Barnes.
Velvet's a trading division of the shop. I think the accountant advised Emma to set it up some tax break.
A man called Frank McCallum rang here a couple of days ago. Do you know what that was about?
No, sorry, I didn't speak to him.
I did.
Oh, Emma, this is Detective Sergeant, sorry.
D.S. Brooks is D.S. Devlin.
Hello.
Emma Sandbrook, I own the shop. Frank, I spoke to him last week. He rang about his delivery to see if it had come in. We supply kid stuff to his paintball company.
Kids and paint, my idea of hell.
Did you make the delivery?
No, he picked it up himself on Tuesday, I think.
And what about Wednesday? Did you see him then?
No, I don't think so.
You're not sure?
No, actually, no, it can't have been. That's when we went shopping.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we don't work Wednesday afternoons. We tend to treat ourselves. We took the train into Bond Street and had a late lunch at Selfridges and a bit of window shopping, that sort of thing.
Well, you've got some nice stuff. Have you been open long?
About 3.5 years.
She suddenly looks concerned.
Is everything all right with Frank?
He was beaten to death on Wednesday afternoon.
Ronnie takes his specs off. Pretty dark-haired Emma looks down.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Matt offers her a teasing smile.
Well, we'll be in touch if we need anything else.
Ronnie nods. They leave and stride down the street together.
She said he rang about a delivery, but he picked the stuff up himself, from Epping to Barnes. And he's the operational director, right? Why bother with that?
And why do Battlefields would have said have them listed under miscellaneous supplies in their accounts? They've got a category for that sort of stuff.
Well, maybe it was a mistake. Depends what you favour, conspiracy or cock-up.
You know me, Matty. I believe everything everyone tells me, and I'm disappointed on a daily basis.
So if it's not paintballing equipment, what are they supplying to Battlefields?
Could be a drugs front, dealing coke to the middle classes of southwest London.
You've got the accounts filed for Velvet Holdings?
Yep. All legit on the surface.
So I go below the surface. Talk to everyone who's made payments into the company and find out exactly what they're paying for. Feet off the table.
In a chic, spacious flat.
I work like a bastard down here Monday to Friday. I'm allowed a bit of play.
Well, we'd just like to know what the girls from Velvet Holdings supply you with.
Don't try and put any stigma on me, lads. I could have an affair, be keeping a bird here, but I couldn't live with myself. This way, it's a business transaction. We all have a good time, they get paid, and I'm not betraying the wife. They're prozzies. Bloody good ones. High class doesn't come into it. Save up, lads. Treat yourselves.
Matt hands the guy a photo of the two gift shop women.
Do you recognise these women?
All right, there we go. That's Coral and that's Amber. Bloody hell. I get a rod on like Nelson's column just thinking about her.
St. Celine School, Barnes, Saturday 27th of January. Matt and Ronnie walk through the school's sports area where there are a row of well-kept tennis courts and kids practising.
School like this can't come cheap.
And that's before you even bought the first tennis racket. Look, Ron, there's enough gaps in what they're saying to bring him in.
Yeah, I know, but still, I hate this bit. Splitting families.
Improving a lot.
You have, my love. Hello, gentlemen.
Mrs. Sandbrook.
This is my son, Toby. He's just been selected to represent the school. Isn't it great?
Nice work, mate.
Thanks.
Go ask your father for a drink, my love. Is everything okay?
We'd like you to come with us to the station.
Now?
It's related to Frank McCallum's death.
I'm sorry, you know, but we can't, not now. We're with our boy,
Emma Sandbrook, Kate Barton, I'm arresting you on the suspicion of the murder of Frank McCallum.
What?
You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
What's going on?
Nothing. These policemen would like to ask us about a guy who bought some stuff from the shop, that's all.
Can't it wait?
chaps?
No, it can't. I'm sorry, sir.
Take Joe. Tim's getting changed. Give them tea. I'll pick them up later. We won't be long.
What?
Car's this way.
Emma.
Emma kisses her boy.
What's going on?
See you later, darling.
Nothing. See you later.
Emma and Kate step forwards with sombre expressions. Later, Ronnie is in an interview room with Kate, who has short hair and a thin face.
Kate, we checked with Selfridges, and they've got no record of you at the restaurant the afternoon Frank McCallum was killed.
We didn't have a reservation, and we paid cash.
Well, there's no sign of you on the CCTV cameras along Bond Street either. Have you got any receipts for your purchases?
Threw them away, sorry.
Kate, I've been married twice. No woman throws away receipts for clothes they've only just bought. How did the prostitution start?
Prefer to call ourselves escorts.
Well, that's classier, I agree. But whatever you want to call it, how did it start?
We bought our house 5 years ago, top of what we could afford. A year later, I found my husband was having an affair. After I chucked him out, I found out he'd run up debt in my name. We owed on the boys' school fees. I was 40 grand in debt. I couldn't cover the mortgage.
Kate, who's in her late 30s, frowns and looks down. She looks up at Ronnie with forlorn eyes.
You ever been in so much debt? It's like you can't breathe.
Did you kill Frank McCallum? Did Emma?
Kate holds Ronnie's gaze.
We were shopping all afternoon.
Frank McCallum had a wife who loved him, a job he enjoyed, and a lot of mates who are struggling to understand why at the age of 47 he is dead. If you provide a false alibi for a killer, you are in just as much trouble as they are. Misguided loyalty will not help you or your sons.
Ronnie tilts his head and nods seriously at her. Her lip quivers and she continues holding his stare.
Tell you the truth.
Steve and I put all our money into starting up the shop. We remortgaged, we took out a loan, lost money hand over fist every month. It just got worse and worse, and then Steve lost his bloody job, and...
Emma's with Matt. Her eyes dart away.
I knew Kate through the school. We were in the same situation. And we'd sit in our kitchen in the evenings, drinking wine, trying to come up with a solution. We were joking at first, and then I just thought, well, why not? What's so bad about that? We don't do the scuzzy end. We pre-select and vet all our clients. Mostly young blokes with some money, some class.
Sounds almost aspirational.
Don't judge me. I know what I am. I know what people will think of me.
And does it matter to you what people will think?
I've been doing it to keep my family together.
Emma looks down with her large brown eyes. She's wearing a tailored white coat. She stares back defiantly at Matt.
I'm good at it. I make others feel good.
Natalie comes in.
Emma. I'm afraid your DNA was all over the murder scene. On Frank McCallum's body and on a toolkit in the back of his car.
That would have been the Tuesday. He came to the shop to pick up his order. I helped him load stuff into the car. I must have moved the toolkit.
We searched your house. We found this.
Lipstick.
Blush by Nyman. Also found on Frank McCallum's body. Nice colour. Suits you.
I'm not a murderer.
Sorry, Emma. We're going to charge you with the murder of Frank McCallum.
Emma blinks nervously. James Steele.
Emma Sambrook's DNA was plastered all over Frank McCallum's car.
Mm-hmm.
Traces of her rare and expensive lipstick were on his body.
But we don't have a murder weapon and she's denying she was there.
She'd have us believe that he was murdered by some random street prostitute.
So, how are you going to stand this up in court?
With motive. What provokes Emma Sandbrook into such a brutal attack? Mm-hmm. Find that, we unlock the case, Frank McCallum gets justice.
Mm-hmm. They had sex in the car. He refuses to pay, she gets angry.
No, inconsistent. She's a £1,000 escort. All her other clients she saw in hotels or in their own homes.
Maybe car sex turned Frank McCallum on.
George is right. I don't think Emma would have taken that risk. Every aspect of their work was careful, pre-planned, safety conscious.
Hey, a long way from Watertide, there's. You've got a lot of work to do. Why did she get in the car? What happened after she did? Phyllis, do you mind? We're in conference here.
You need to get a new receptionist. That one's very easy to get past. Phyllis Gladstone, representing Emma Sandbrook.
I've seen you defend.
Did I get her off?
Yep.
So what are you doing in this case? When did prostitutes fly the flag for women's rights?
Sexual exploitation of women. That's the knob here.
What? How did you make that leap?
Drop the charges. You'll never make it home with this.
The DNA evidence is irrefutable.
Ah, the great God, science. I'll turn it to dust beneath my fingers. Motive?
Out.
You don't know, do you?
Out.
Good. Good. I'll tell my client.
She's impossible.
And brilliant.
You have to find out motive. Start prodding the husband. He must be feeling a little bruised.
She wasn't in the car. She didn't kill him. I know her.
But until this came out, you didn't know she was a prostitute.
Stop calling her that. Sorry.
Emma's husband, Steve, sighs.
Sometimes it's too much to take in. Before we got married, I told her, if she ever slept with anyone else, I'm out. No discussions, no second chances, I'll just leave.
So why are you still here?
Steve lowers his head.
Couldn't do it. Maybe I should take Toby and go. But there's no off switch when you love someone, is there? I just want to keep the family together.
So long as that doesn't include lying for them.
I've told you everything she told me. She wasn't there.
Did you find anything on Frank McCallum's credit card bills?
Yes. Almost every time there's a Velvet Holdings charge, there's a charge the same day from Hotel 103, a small hotel in Marylebone.
Could be the love pad.
That's what I was thinking. But the last payment was 3 weeks before the murder.
So what? After that, they switched hotels?
Don't think so. No more charges on the card. Maybe they had a falling out, stopped seeing each other.
See if any of the staff noticed anything odd about the last time McCallum and Emma were there.
Sure.
At Hotel 103.
Checking in at 2:24 p.m. on the 19th.
Yep.
What is that? There you go.
That's her.
And that's your Mr. McCallum.
On the CCTV footage, Emma is with Josh.
No, it's not.
At the paintball centre, James and Alicia are with weathered-faced Josh.
What exactly is it you want me to say?
You lied to the police. You were having sex with the woman accused of murdering one of your employees and you forgot to mention it.
Okay, so I'm, you know, really terribly sorry. Just stop going on about it.
You told police the charges were on Frank McCallum's card.
I promise you, I swear to God, I cross my heart and hope to die, right? I had nothing to do with Frank McCallum's death. Nor did Amber. Emma Sandbrook. She just calls herself Amber.
What was she doing in a car with Frank McCallum?
I asked him to find her.
Why?
Because a couple of weeks ago Emma, said that she didn't want to continue with our meetings.
Why?
I don't know. She said it was nothing personal. That it was her, not me. Maybe I was just getting a little bit too close or something, I don't know. But I tell you, those 2 hours were the best part of my week, you know? I asked her to live with me because I wanted a relationship rather than just a transaction. And about then, she stopped returning my calls. And so I knew that Frankie had been in the police force, so I asked him to find her for me.
You sent Frank McCallum after Emma Sandbrook, and then you lied about it. Persistent.
I didn't know what else to do, you know.
Josh looks at Alicia with a hangdog expression.
I love her.
So, Frank McCallum lied to his old friend in Vice about why he needed information on Velvet Holdings. It wasn't credit card fraud. He wanted to find Emma for Josh.
And we know he did because he called her at the shop.
Which means he knew everything. Her real name, the fact that she was married with a child.
Is that why she got in his car rather than meet him at a Hotel 103? So she didn't meet him for sex at all. He picks her up, drives her somewhere out of the way.
Where he threatens to tell the whole of Barnes about her secret.
Unless she sleeps with him whenever he wants. It's the same thing he demands of the woman at the paintball company.
Emma's driving force all along was to keep her family together. That's why she sold sex in the first place. So what happens if Frank McCallum threatens to expose a secret that would make her husband leave and tear her family apart?
And you think that gives Emma Sandbrook a motive for murder? Yuck. Big yuck. What a stretch. That theory will sag like an undercooked souffle in court.
After she killed him, she panicked. Did the first thing that came to mind. She put lipstick around his penis to make it look like he'd been with a prostitute. Not realizing her lipstick was easily traceable back to her.
She wasn't there. She didn't do it.
Emma pleads guilty to manslaughter on grounds of provocation. Frank McCallum's widow is then saved the trauma of a trial. Show some humanity, Phyllis.
And if my client refuses your offer?
We'll try her for murder. She can look forward to a much heftier sentence. Take this offer. Emma could get as little as 5 years. She'd be out in time to see Toby do his GCSEs.
I'll put your suggestion to my client. Now, if you'll excuse me, I do have other work.
Think she'll take it?
I'd never predict Phyllis Gladstone.
If she refuses, blackmail's a good mitigation, even at a murder trial.
It's motive, not a defense.
You're never going to believe this. Emma Sandbrook wants to confess.
Frank McCallum came to the shop. He said that he worked for Josh Pritchard and that he knew all about me.
He said that if I didn't get in the car with him, he'd drive straight around to see my husband. I couldn't bear the thought of it all coming out, so I got in the car with him. He drove and parked up, and then he locked the doors and said that he wouldn't tell my husband anything so long as I agreed to have sex with him.
Free of charge whenever he wanted. I told him I wasn't going to do that. And I tried to get out of the car. And that's when he grabbed me.
Where did he grab you?
First by the wrist and then by the hair. And he pulled my head down into his crotch and forced me to.
Emma stalls.
I'm sorry, Emma, we have to be clear about this. What did Frank McCallum force you to do?
To perform oral sex on him.
I was struggling. I managed to push him off me and crawled into the back of the car, but he came after me and I was trapped. And I saw the spanner on top of the open toolkit and Frank was, he was clawing at me, pulling at my clothes. So I grabbed the spanner and swung it. I was protecting myself.
I thought he was going to kill me.
Attempted rape. When did you dream that of?
It's the truth. It happened just as she said. And no jury hearing that will convict her of murder.
Why didn't she mention the rape before?
She didn't think she'd be believed.
Really? Well, she's hardly the shy, retiring wallflower.
We know Frank McCallum asked another woman for sex in exchange for keeping things quiet.
And we know that he never went further than asking.
Every rapist starts somewhere.
If you can find me proof within the evidence to support Emma's assertion, I'll listen. But until then, my duty is to the murder victim. He's still owed justice.
So, do you think you can make it home with what you've got on this case?
Blonde James gives a confident nod.
Yeah.
Good. No further arrangements. Emma Sandbrook stands trial for murder.
Oh, by the way, Emma's husband has corroborated her story. He told her to stay away from the police. He disposed of the murder weapon. The police are locating it now based on his information.
He changed his story.
Oh, sweetie, don't look so disappointed.
So, not only is Emma lying, she's got others lying for her as well.
You're not convincing me, and you won't convince a jury.
Lies rarely sustain under pressure, Phyllis.
Well, we'll soon find out. May the best man win.
In court, Phyllis questions Barry, the cop.
Is it correct that in 1998, a sex worker called Debbie Kane complained to the police complaints authority that she was arrested by Frank McCallum after refusing to have sex with him?
That complaint was not upheld.
And subsequently, in 2002, a sex worker called Lisa McCormack filed a similar complaint.
Also dismissed. It's very easy for prostitutes to make these complaints. Frank wasn't that sort of bloke.
Were complaints made against anyone else in the vice squad?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Phyllis grins.
Thank you.
Did those complaints allege Detective McCallum used violence?
Absolutely not.
Do you know why they were dismissed?
Well, they were thoroughly investigated by the PCA. There was an on-the-record hearing. They concluded there was no evidence to support the charges.
Later, Alicia strides into James's office with a document.
No saliva in the lipstick.
Sorry?
I've been back through forensics. The lipstick marks on Frank McCallum's body didn't contain traces of saliva.
Contradicting Emma's evidence that McCallum forced her to perform oral sex.
So, I asked forensics to check back for other inconsistencies. They queried why the lipstick was the only marking on McCallum's penis. If it had been outside of his clothes during the attack, it should have been splattered with blood.
But it wasn't. Which means the lipstick was applied after she killed Frank McCallum.
The facts undermine Emma's story. She was in the car. But she wasn't raped.
Hello?
Hi, I'm Annie McCallum, Frank's wife.
Oh, come in, come in. James Steele.
I was in court this morning. I know what they're trying to do. Now, Frank was many things, but he wasn't a rapist.
We believe you.
But are the jury going to believe that? You know, she killed him, and now she's lying about him. Who's speaking out for Frank? Who's defending him?
We are. I promise.
I thought the money came from the shop. I didn't think to ask questions, not when we needed it so badly. The money Emma earned was a lifesaver. Before that, we were in massive trouble.
If Emma's acquitted, will you let her come home?
Yes.
Steve stares at Emma across the courtroom.
We're a family. Toby needs his mum.
So, despite everything, you're here giving evidence in support of your wife.
I don't agree with her selling sex. But I understand why she did it. She sacrificed herself to keep the family together. And I'm certain she's telling the truth about what happened in the car.
Thank you.
James stands and fixes a stare on Steve.
Is it difficult being continually humiliated by your wife, Mr. Sandbrook?
Pertinent questions, Mr. Steele, please.
Emma comes to you in tears and she tells you she just killed a man who tried to rape her, and you tell her not to go to the police.
I was worried they wouldn't believe her.
You're not a stupid man. You must have known they'd find out.
I don't. I mean, it wasn't the best decision.
None of this is the truth, is it? Your wife never told you she killed Frank McCallum in self-defense, did she?
I've told you what happened.
She came up with the story of the attempted rape after she was arrested and demanded you go along with
No.
it. She told me she wasn't there. That's from your original statement. Were you lying then, or are you lying now? Can anything you say be believed?
Phyllis questions Kate, who looks pensive.
In your line of work, have you ever been asked to do things that you didn't want to do?
One man threatened me with a carving knife. I had no choice but to let him do what he wanted.
Rape you?
Yes.
Phyllis nods, grave-faced.
What would have happened if you'd refused?
I think he might have killed me.
Phyllis nods again with a satisfied smile and sits down.
Mrs. Sandbrook was responsible for you becoming a prostitute.
We discussed it together. It was a short-term solution to a difficult problem.
But you soon got used to the money.
Neither of us were going to do it forever. Emma had been wanting to stop for a few months. She'd had enough. She wanted out before Steve discovered.
James looks up suddenly with his mouth open. His eyes dart about.
No further questions.
I will rise for the short adjournment. Members of the jury, please be back here in 1 hour.
Me, Emma's police statement, and every statement by her husband and by Kate.
Court rise.
Later, pretty Emma is giving evidence.
When I saw the spanner, I just grabbed it and swung it. I was just trying to get him off me.
Why didn't you go to the police?
Because I knew they wouldn't see Mum from Barnes, just a whore. I was just trying to protect my family.
She stares ahead with dead, disconnected eyes.
Thank you, Emma.
James stands. He looks deep in thought.
How many strangers have paid you to have sex with them?
Steve shuts his eyes.
Answer the question, please, Mrs. Sandbrook.
80? Maybe 90, man?
Were you proud of being a prostitute?
Not proud, no.
Ashamed, then?
Sometimes.
Why did you want to stop being a prostitute?
Why do you think?
It's your evidence we require, Mrs. Sandbrook.
I have a husband and son.
Emma, wearing black, trembles.
I don't think I could carry on living with myself if I didn't stop doing it.
So you felt guilty and ashamed?
Like I said, yes, sometimes I did, yes, sometimes.
And were you worried that if your husband found out, he might leave you as he'd previously threatened?
Emma's face tenses.
I never wanted to hurt Steve.
So when Frank McCallum threatened to tell your husband, you had no choice but to kill him?
No, he tried to rape me.
You reached for a spanner and you hit him 14 times. 14 times. That's a frenzied attack. What was he saying to you that made you so angry?
He was attacking me.
He brought out all that guilt and that shame and self-loathing that you'd worked so hard to bury, didn't he? Isn't it true that you thought you were on your way to being free of prostitution?
He was trying to rape me!
Here was this man who was threatening to destroy your entire life.
No!
You just said you hated your life. You couldn't live with yourself. And in that moment, all that rage and fear came flooding out, didn't it? Was he still talking after the first blow with the spanner?
I don't know. Or the second, or the third, or did it take a fourth to shut him up?
Was he still threatening to tell Steve when you hit him the fifth time, or the seventh, or the ninth?
It was fast, I don't know.
So at what point did he actually lose consciousness? When you could have managed to get out of the car if you'd wished after the 11th blow or the 13th?
I don't know.
You don't know because your story is a lie, isn't it, Mrs. Sandbrook?
He was trying to rape me. After you killed him,
you panicked.
You quickly altered the scene
to make it look like a prostitute's attack by applying lipstick to Frank McCallum's dead body.
No, I did not.
Forensic tests found no saliva traces in the lipstick.
Emma glowers at James.
You didn't attack him in self-defense, did you? If that was true, you would have fled the moment you fought him off. You killed him because he threatened to expose you as a prostitute, didn't you?
No.
Later.
Defendant, please rise.
Emma stands in the dock, her head hung low.
Members of the jury, have you reached a verdict upon which you are all agreed?
Yes.
In relation to the count of the murder of Frank McCallum, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Emma takes a sharp intake of breath and sobs. Kate looks at her from across the court and also weeps. Phyllis scowls. Emma turns to Steve, who screws his face up in shock. James turns sadly towards Alicia. Later, James and Alicia stroll down the court's ornate corridor together.
I can't
can't help thinking about Emma's family. Why did Emma force us to trial? She could have taken our first offer.
There's always more than one victim.
But it was the right verdict for Frank McCallum. Justice has been done.
Alicia pauses for a moment and nods doubtfully. They continue on down the corridor. ITFC audio description by Daniel Coonan. A caption: the characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious.